People in general believe many falsehoods about believing. Believing is a decision. Believing is a choice. Once you believe, you cannot lose that faith. Believing something means you have knowledge about something or agree that certain facts are true. Against all of these misconceptions about believing, a creed for this third millennium believes it cannot believe. So you think faith, coming to believe, is a choice, a decision, something you can be argued into or convinced that it is true. Well, then believe this. Believe in a king who himself says his kingdom is not of this world. Why, that's like a middle school kid who wants you to believe his dad is a big shot, but always has a reason for why he didn't do this or couldn't do that. Go ahead and choose to believe a man is innocent when he won't proclaim his innocence. Sure, Pilate says, "I find no basis for a charge against him," 3 times. Sure, he declares that King Herod didn't either. And then Pilate's own wife comes bursting on the scene saying, "Don't have anything to do with this innocent man." But last week, Jesus did not answer the charge that he wanted to tear down the temple. This week, he doesn't answer the charge that he opposed payment of taxes to Caesar. And while Herod plied him with many questions and the chief priests and teachers of the law stood there vehemently accusing him, Jesus gave no answers. Would you believe in my innocence if I was charged by the Senate before the state with many crimes I didn't answer a single one of them? If you think you can be persuaded, sold, argued into believing in a Savior who won't save himself, go ahead and do it. Can you make yourself trust that Jesus can save you from the pain of physical ailments when he doesn't save himself from the whip? Can you be convinced to believe that Jesus can save you from guilt, from shame, from punishment for your sins when he doesn't save himself from these for sins he didn't commit? And can you decide to believe that your God is the one Pilate brings out saying, "Here is the man"? Search for the painting titled with the Latin of what Pilate says, Ecce Homo. Go ahead, decide to believe that the man wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe with a face swollen from being savagely beaten, arms and torso lacerated from whips, and spit dripping off his face, go ahead and believe this man is your God. If you think you can make this choice, you don't remember middle school. You could choose to know the boy or girl everyone else picked on. You could decide that they would be your friend. How many of you chose that? Believing that Jesus is the King of Kings, trusting that Jesus is innocent of all charges brought against him, having faith that the one who doesn't save himself is nonetheless your Savior, believing that the man who is so pitifully abused by other men is your God, is not a belief you can choose to have, decide to have, be persuaded to have. Well, that's not quite true. You can decide to have a human trust, a man-made faith, a believing that comes from within, little engine that could like. But such a faith is no more than a candle you light in the wind. One good gust of Jesus' kingdom not being of this world, one good gust of suffering even though you are innocent, one good gust of being saved, of not being saved from pain and dying, one good gust of your God standing by and doing nothing, and man-made faith goes out candle in the wind like. Yet, only those with faith, only believers are saved. That's what we confess in our creed for the third millennium. To whom do we say on the last day eternal life will be given? All believers in Christ. How many saving faiths are there? How many true faiths are there? One. And it's not believing in yourself. It's not believing in a higher power. It's not believing in a supreme being. It's not believing in being spiritual. It's believing that Jesus is the King of all kings, suffers innocently, and is your Savior and God. Only believers are saved who believe in the one true faith. Such faith isn't a decision, it's not a choice, it's not something you can be persuaded, convinced, or argued into. That would be a man-made faith, which is only as strong, as firm, as sure as the man who made it. Saving faith is miraculous. We confess this too. We say that not only ourselves, but the whole Christian church on earth has to be kept in the one true faith. That means left to ourselves, not only would we not come to the faith, we could not remain in the faith. Here then is the grand paradox of this part of our third millennium creed. Saving faith is not something we can bring ourselves to or keep ourselves in. That's why we begin this part of our confession with, "I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him." We confess point blank, "I believe, I cannot believe." Now how that should comfort you. How this should cure you from being preoccupied with your believing or faith. Do I believe enough? Is my faith strong enough? If I had stronger faith, I would be doing this or that. How silly such things sound to ears whose mouth has said, "I have faith that I cannot have faith by my own reason or strength." Moreover, how silly Billy Graham, Charles Stanley, and others who talk about making decisions to believe in Jesus sound. They sound as silly as someone asking blind people to decide to see. Someone as silly as asking dead people to choose to be alive. I have digressed into the errors of others, when at this point we must focus on our own. I've said, as we confess, that only believers are saved. Yet, it's also biblically true to say believing does not save. Now, this is another paradox. It strikes us so violently because we, even me, often use the phrase salvation by faith. But we're really speaking theological shorthand when we say that. Salvation is by grace, for Christ's sake, through faith. If believing is in itself saved, then put the Muslims or the Mormons first in line. The Muslims believe seriously and ferociously that there is only one God, Allah, and Muhammad is His prophet. Allah Akbar, they chant, they shout, believing tenaciously that their God, Allah, alone is great. Mormons, too, are big on faith. They believe so much in their religion that they forego caffeine, stockpile food, and wear special underwear. Yet all the believing of all the Muslims and all the Mormons and all the world doesn't save a one of them. Believing is not what saves us. Our creed doesn't say it does. After the Apostles' Creed takes us through creation and then redemption, how does it say redemption becomes ours? We wrongly think that Luther's explanation summarizes the Apostles' Creed in this fashion. God created me, Jesus is my Lord, and I believe. No, we confess, God created me, Jesus is my Lord, and the Holy Spirit calls me. It's not our believing, it's not our faith that gives access to Jesus' kingdom, salvation, righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. It's the Holy Spirit. The third article of our creed is not about faith. We make that clear from the outside by saying, in short, "I believe, I can't believe." The third article is about what the Holy Spirit does. He calls, He enlightens, He sanctifies, He keeps me, even as He does the whole Christian church on earth. The Holy Spirit richly and daily forgives my sins, and on the last day He will raise me and all the dead and give out eternal life. The Holy Spirit does all these things. What we see in our Passion reading is Jesus winning the Spirit for sinful, fallen man. Jesus is a king. He's the king of this sinful, fallen world. And as a king, He's answerable to Almighty God for all this world has done against God. That's why He stands there closed mouth when He is accused, blamed, shamed with every imaginable sin under the sun. He's not guilty, but I am. Jesus is innocent, but I'm sure not. If King Jesus should defend Himself, He would make all of us subjects of His guilty. Jesus could have saved Himself. He could have broken the cords that bound Him as easily as Samson did. He could have ripped apart those who slapped Him as David did a lion and a bear with his bare hands. He could have placed his foot on the neck of Pilate and Herod easier than Joshua had his commanders do on their enemies. If Jesus had used his divine powers as a man, he could have caught that whip in midair before it ever hit him. The crown of thorns would have broken as they tried to jam it down onto his head. And the Romans would have shattered every bone in their hands when they slapped him. But if Jesus had saved himself, you wouldn't be saved. Your sins would still need paying for, suffering for, dying for, damning for. Jesus, God in flesh and blood, allows himself to be abused, punished, and suffer without mercy, because only the blood, sweat and tears of God would be sufficient payment for a world's sins. Jesus is winning the Holy Spirit for the entire world of men. As true God, he provided sufficient payment, and as true man, he truly won the Holy Spirit for mankind. Now he pours out that Spirit on all flesh. Where? In words and sacraments. Every word of God is Spirit, and it is everlasting life. Every drop of baptismal water has the Word and the Spirit attached to it. Every word of absolution breathes out the Holy Spirit that Jesus breathed into it Easter evening. Every morsel of Jesus' body and every drop of Jesus' blood has all of his Spirit in them. The Holy Spirit distributes the salvation Jesus won. Believers receive that salvation. Our believing does not cause the salvation to be there, but receives the salvation that Jesus paid for and the Holy Spirit puts there. Don't go looking inside of you for faith. It's hard to find a mustard seed of faith among the coconuts of doubt. Look for Jesus there. And know he must be there, since in baptism you put him on, since in absolution he entered your ears, and since in communion you ate and drank him. And Jesus cannot be anywhere without his Spirit. And where the Spirit is, he is constantly doing his thing. So while the creed for the third millennium believes it can't believe, it also believes the Spirit daily and richly calls, gathers, enlightens, sanctifies, and keeps me in the one true faith. Amen. We continue now with the offering.